Welcome to the second module of your civics third chapter, electoral politics. This voice record, we will start with the reserved constituencies. We know that in our country, certain constituencies are reserved for the members of the scheduled caste and scheduled tribes. In Lok Sabha, 84 constituencies are reserved for scheduled castes and 47 constituencies are reserved for scheduled tribes. You may think, why more constituencies are reserved for scheduled castes and only 47 constituencies are reserved for scheduled tribe? This difference is because of the difference in the total population of our country. We have more people belonging to the various scheduled castes in India compared to the total number of people belonging to the scheduled tribes of India. So these seats are reserved based on the proportion of scheduled caste people and scheduled tribe people in the total population of India. Once again I repeat, in Lok Sabha, therefore, 84 seats are reserved for scheduled castes, while 47 seats are reserved for scheduled tribes. In scheduled caste reserved constituencies, only someone who belongs to any of the scheduled castes can contest election. No one belonging to scheduled tribe or backward communities or the general categories can contest election as a candidate in a constituency reserved for scheduled caste. The same is the case with a constituency reserved for scheduled tribes. Only a person who belongs to the scheduled tribes of our country can contest election as a candidate from such constituencies reserved for scheduled tribes. The other people belonging to scheduled caste, OBC communities, or general communities cannot contest election from such areas. And we know that in our total population of our country, almost 50% of the total population of our country, they are belonging to the female gender. So in that way, proportional reservations are given. Then some seats should be reserved for women also, in Lok Sabha, Rajya Sabha, and in all representative bodies, including state legislatures. But this is even today a long pending demand. These demands were not accepted till today. I hope in the coming years this demand would be accepted, say hope. And if we look at our Lok Sabha, our Rajya Sabha, our Vidhan Sabha, then we can see that the great majority of the members, they all belong to the male category, while the female members are microscopic minorities there. In many states, seats in rural areas, seats in local self-governing bodies, Panchayati Raj institutions like municipalities, municipal corporations, Jilla Council, etc. Seats are reserved for backward classes and women candidates. Now we will discuss what is voters list. Officially, voters list is called the electoral roll. What is it? In a democratic election, the list of those who are eligible to vote is prepared much before the election. And this list is called the voters list or electoral roll. It is the responsibility of the state government to prepare this voters list by including all the eligible citizens. That means all the citizens belonging to all communities, all cultures, all castes if they have reached the age of 18. But even though it is the responsibility of the state government, I think our voters also have a responsibility to ensure that their names are there in the voters list. Very often I have seen the sad reality that some people will just walk into the polling booth, and when their name is not there in the voters list, they used to make a lot of fighting and a lot of arguments there. It is in the interest of the voters, when the voters list is published, they should go and check whether their name is there or not. If their name is not there, they should inquire and they should take the steps to see their names are included in the voters list. And when these voters names are there in the voters list, they can definitely apply for the election photo identity card, otherwise called the EPIC. We had one election commissioner by name T.N. Sheshan long back. Now he is no more. The credit goes to Sri T.N. Sheshan when he was election commissioner. Under his initiative, these photo identity cards were issued for all voters in order to stop bogus voting. But this card is not compulsory. There can be any other identity proof like driving license, passport, or an identity card issued by any government agency. With that also, a voter can vote. Now we are moving to the nomination of candidates. Each candidate has to systematically follow certain procedures to become a candidate. The first important point is that if a person wants to become a candidate in an election, his name should be, first of all, his name should be there in the voters list. If a person wants to contest Lok Sabha election or state legislative assembly election, then he should have reached at least the age of 25 years. Every person who wishes to contest election has to fulfill this requirement. And if a person wants to contest election to Rajya Sabha, then also his name should be there in the voters list and he should have completed at least 30 years of age. And the second requirement is that he has to fill a nomination form which is printed and available, and this filled nomination form should be submitted to the returning officer along with the required security deposit of money. Then only the form will be accepted there. And along with the security deposit of money and the filled in nomination form, each candidate has to submit a legal declaration, what you call affidavit. The first affidavit is regarding the serious criminal cases pending against that candidate. Cases like murder, looting, dacoity, these kinds of serious criminal cases, if they are pending in any court, that information should be given. If such cases are not there, that information also should be given. Such cases are not there. Second legal declaration is another affidavit, making it clear his assets and liabilities, the number of his house, what is its market value, how much money is there in the form of share certificates, fixed deposit, gold, vehicles, houses, ready cash in hand, all that should be given in an affidavit. And the third affidavit that has to be submitted along with the filled in nomination paper and the security deposit is regarding the educational qualification. Some of our candidates are highly educated. Whatever may be the educational qualification, that should be included. Suppose if a candidate is just a fifth standard passed person, he should mention that. So all these declarations, legal declarations, if any one of that is found to be wrong later, the election commission has the right to cancel his candidature If such a step is taken by the election commission based on wrong affidavits, then even if that candidate is elected as an MLA or an MP, that election will be declared null and void. It will have no value. So therefore, only the correct informations should be there in these declarations. The election campaigns are conducted in our country in a free and open manner so that the candidates and parties get a chance to get across their ideas, their promises, their policies and programs to the voters, so that voters get a chance to understand each party and each candidate in a better way and decide which party and which candidate is better. And in such election campaigns, each party and candidate gets an opportunity to justify its policies and programs and its activities and action. There are various ways of doing election campaign: newspaper advertisements, conducting morchas, election rallies, corner meetings, leaders explaining their points to the people, advertisements, people visiting house to house, explaining and introducing their parties and candidates and asking for votes. All these are the various activities of election campaign. How much a party is well organized, we come to know during this time. If the election campaign is well organized, systematically managed, that means that particular party is well organized party, and definitely they will get the benefit on the day of election in the form of more votes. In our country, the election campaign takes place for 2 weeks period between the day of announcement of the final list of candidates and the date of polling. At least 24 hours before the polling starts, all election campaigns should be stopped in order to give peace of mind to all the voters so that they could sit and think seriously which candidate and which party is better for them. And during this period, candidates should not disturb the voters, or the other political leaders also should not disturb the voters. Some of the successful slogans also come out during the time of the election campaign. In our country, from time to time, there are many slogans that attracted the attention of the media and the people. For example, when we had an election, after the emergency period was over, the Janata Party under the leadership of Sri Morarji Desai brought out a slogan, "Save Democracy." These slogans are shouting of words that express the mood of the party and the candidate. So the Janata Party slogan at that time was "Save Democracy." The Marxist Party in West Bengal brought out a slogan called "Land to the Tiller," and land reforms were their main activities there. Sri N.T. Ramarao, who founded the Telugu Desam Party, he introduced a slogan called "Protect the Self-Respect of the Telugus." So like that, Jai Kisan, Jai Jawan, there are so many such slogans which people accepted and people were attracted to. According to India's election law, no party or no candidate can do certain things. Number one, bribe or threaten voters. Voters should not be bribed and he should not be threatened or terrorized for voting or not for voting. No party and no candidate can appeal to them in the name of caste and religion. That is the second rule. And the third rule is, no party and candidate can use government resources for election campaign. And the fourth rule is, No candidate and party can spend more than 25 lakh rupees in a constituency for Lok Sabha election and 10 lakh rupees in a constituency in an assembly election. Whether these rules are strictly followed or not, I don't want to make any comment. You observe it yourself and arrive at your own conclusions. If any political party violate these rules, their election can be declared null and void by the court of law. But very rarely such things happen. In addition to these laws, all the political parties in our country have agreed to follow what you call the model code of conduct during the time of election campaign. And according to this model code of conduct, no party or no candidate can use any place of worship for election propaganda and campaign. Any place of worship means any church, any temple, any gurudwara, any mosque, or any place where religious worship happens. That place should not be used for election campaign and propaganda. And no party and candidate can use government vehicles, government aircraft, or government officials for the purpose of election campaign. And no party and no candidate can, once elections are announced, the ministers, whether chief minister or prime minister or central minister or state minister, they are not allowed to undertake programs like laying foundation stones, declaring the new policy decisions or new promises to the people, because these things may influence the voters. Therefore, these things are not allowed. Now we have to understand what is polling and counting of votes. Polling refers to the exact process of voters walking into the polling booth and registering their votes. Normally in our classroom, we used to have a mock drill or a performance of actual voting. But in this pandemic time, we are not able to do that. Every person whose name is there in the voters list can go to the nearby polling booth and register his vote. Once the voter goes inside the polling booth, the election officials will identify him or her, put a mark on his left hand index finger, and allow that voter to cast the vote. The agents of every candidate or every political party will be allowed to sit behind the polling staff to observe the entire process of election and to ensure that no bogus voting happens. Now, what is a ballot paper? A ballot paper is a sheet of paper on which all the names of all the contesting candidates, their symbols are given. Nowadays, we are not using ballot papers because now we are using electronic voting machines called EVM. In such electronic voting machines, the names of the candidates, their party, and the party symbols or the candidate symbols are given. And when the voter goes inside the polling chamber, the voter can press the blue button, which is given against the name of each and every candidate. And when the voter press that blue button, the vote will be registered in the name of that particular candidate or that for that particular party. And only once you can press that button. Even if twice you try to press, vote will not be registered. Once the polling is over, all the electronic voting machines are sealed and collected and taken to a secure place, and that place kept under lock and key and given 24 hours protection with armed police force. And after a few days, these electronic voting machines are opened and the vote secured by each candidate is counted, and this counting takes place in the presence of the candidate or the duly appointed agents for those candidates. So there is no chance of cheating. The candidate who secure the highest number of votes from a constituency is declared elected. And you know that once a candidate is getting elected, the celebrations will start. The candidate who got elected will be very happy. His supporters will be very happy. They used to distribute sweets and other things. And the candidates who could not get elected, naturally they will be very sad. But they should take it in the right spirit. The candidate who got elected should rededicate himself to work in a better way for the benefit of the voters and for the country. And the candidates, those who did not get elected, they should double their effort in order to become more popular, more accepted, so that in the next election, at least they will have a better chance to get elected. So these are the important things I wanted to discuss with you. Thank you for listening to me. The remaining part of the chapter we will discuss in the next module, that is the third module. Thank you.